December 18, 2021, SWAT Pedro Show. for Pedro Show. Happy Saturday. Start the show off, John Coltrane, while my lady sleeps. And Chris Carpottinger with reflective glass shell. And because of those Estonian software people with their Skype invention, I got with me Chris Pottinger. Welcome aboard, Chris.
Hey, what's up, Mike?
Well, you and your music and curious about your journey. So please bring your earliest musical memory.
Man, I guess it must be just like my parents playing like some cassette tapes. They didn't have a lot of music interest, it seemed, but they always would play like this Willie Nelson cassette and maybe like some Carly Simon cassettes. And, you know, it just, that was a constant background music when I was a kid.
And the pad you grew up in, was there a musical instrument?
No. We actually didn't have any music instruments in the family that I can remember. I mean, aside from just like a little kid's toy xylophone or something like that.
Okay. And what was the first record you bought with your own money?
Jeez. It must have been like Bon Jovi, Slippery When Wet.
Okay. And the first gig you saw?
First gig, I had to talk my dad into taking me and my buddy. It was like super hard to get him to take us out to anything.
Yeah.
And he took us out to a Butthole Surfers show. He was not stoked on it. they were like projecting like weird genital dissection films background. And
sexual reassignment. Yeah, I remember they had it behind him, right? It'd be split screen with like Charlie's Angels or some shit.
Totally. My dad was not stoked. I must have been like 13 or 12 or something.
First gig I went and saw with D. Boone, his pop took us. It was T-Rex.
That's a cool first gig.
Yeah. Everybody says it, but we were 14.
I guess Butthole Surfers was the first gig that I asked to go to, but my parents did take me to check out who's the band that did Puff the Magic Dragon?
Obama's and the Papas.
No, it was, I can't remember the name, but that.
Association?
Peter, Paul, and Mary, wasn't that it?
Peter, Paul, and Mary, that's right.
Yep, that was the first gig they took me to.
Okay, what about at school? Were you in the marching band or the choir, shit like that?
I did, in like fourth grade, I did have band class, and I played saxophone in it, and I don't know, I guess they just like assigned me saxophone. I don't remember like asking for it. And, you know, that was pretty much the extent of my like musical teaching.
How long did you play it? Just for that, like the class something? Or did you, do it at home?
For class? I had to practice at home and stuff. But the class like really turned me off on music. They made it like just, they sucked all the fun out of it. And, you know, everybody that wasn't like really like good at what they were doing, you kind of felt like bad about it. And I don't know, they just took any fun out of it, and it turned me off playing that instrument for a long time. But later in life, back maybe like, I don't know, like 2000 or something, I picked it back up, maybe like 1998, and I started playing it again. And it kind of clicked with me then, because I realized you could do whatever you wanted. You didn't have to like go to music classes to play like the sax perfect. You could just have fun with it and just, you know, go nuts.
I like that idea. So sometimes it takes a negative experience though, right?
Wish that I had more fun in class doing it, because I might have played it, you know, for, you know, all my young adult life, but, you know, unfortunately, it didn't happen.
So you didn't really get into, like, the bedroom band, the basement band, garage band thing in your at school, teenage years?
Well, with a friend of mine, Kevin Ryuta, me and my buddy, we would hang out in his bedroom and just kind of, like, record, just messing around with instruments. He had a guitar and a bass, and we would just mess around with them and record on like a little handheld recorder. And, you know, no real songs, but we would just kind of try to make like interesting sounds with them. And like we figured out if you took a television remote control, you could like hold it up to the pickup and make some weird sounds with it that way. And we just started recording stuff like that.
Yeah, abstract improv.
Yeah, real abstract. And we kind of just did it for fun, just to like, you know, have fun putting out like fake releases. We would record stuff and then just like have fun making a cassette tape that was just like for our buddies, yeah. You know, like our five friends, and we would just give it to them. And that's kind of how we got started jamming together.
Okay. Yeah. So it still was kind of like the garage band, bedroom band.
Yeah. Except just like no songs.
And
just,
also no gigs, right?
Yeah. No gigs then either. No, not until a little bit later. But my first gig was with him.
And what'd you play?
I had a little theremin. It was kind of like one of those little electronic project things you could build. So I had that, and we could run it through like guitar pedals, and he would play like this weird, you know, this old Casio synth thing. And it was, definitely free form, kind of just like real noisy stuff.
Where was it at?
The first gig was in Ann Arbor at a place called Halfway Inn. It was like a dormitory concert venue. It was like below the dorms.
Okay, and, on the campus.
It was run by students.
I should tell the listeners, Ann Arbor, big college here. I think second only to Ohio State. Huge.
Yeah, U of M.
I got to play, open up for Parliament Funkadelic in the basketball arena.
No way.
Yeah.
That was probably real.
Those guys. Yeah, it was really great. Interesting experience. That, of course, Stooges people in Ann Arbor, right?
Yeah. All
right.
Yes.
So this gig, was it a success?
It was like pretty nerve wracking. We got invited by, some friends, Wolf Eyes.
Oh, yeah. I've had some.
Eric Dillaway and Nate Young. One of those guys invited us to open for him because we were always hanging out in the record store where Aaron works at, or used to work. And he's like, "You're always buying this weird stuff. What's up with you, man?" And, you know, these weird noise records and stuff. And I was like, "Oh, I got a CD. You want a copy?" And hooked him up with it. And he invited us to open for him that night.
Wow. Well, they've been on the show, and interesting cats.
Yeah, they're
I think Scotty, Stooges' drummer, is godfather of one of those guys.
No way.
Something like that.
No way. I got to ask them about that.
Yeah. So, my memory's faulty, stuff like that. So, nerve-wracking. Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. I get scared of gigs. I just did one night before last, but I'm playing back with Tom and Raul again, and there's nothing like playing in a band. There's something about it. Now, did you guys have a name?
We called ourselves Mind Meld 5.
But there was just two of you, right?
Like, yeah, it was just two of us, and like I was not into like Star Trek, and then later I realized it was like kind of like a Star Trek reference.
Oh, and, Mind Meld, right?
You know,
the Vulcan Spock, right? I think it was the Vulcan Mind Meld or something with the hand over your face, and his brain could go into your brain or some shit like that. I think that's the only Star Trek I like is that the TV series, the first one. It's the characters, right? Scotty and Spock, the Doctor, and whoa, I lost you.
let it all hang out. Let them scream and let them shout. You speak the truth. Say it sure, say it proud. They'll bitch and moan, but you're gonna make it known. Tell it like it is. 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 You ain't going out like this. You aren't gonna stop. You're gonna get that mob. You clean up this town. Don't let their slander get you down. Cause you know the truth. You've got the receipts. You've got the proof. You pull up in your car and you say, get in. Where are we going? We're going to the truth. Where we speak from the gut. Where we don't keep our eyes shut. Where we don't pander to fascist fucks. Fucking pricks make me sick. Nihilist, capitalist swine. They want what's yours and they take what's mine. Swine. You tell it like it is. 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 Spray the truth. Like. With. That's what we got, the truth. No shit, no lies. Just open your stupid fucking eyes. Tell it like it is. 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 Tell it like it is.
Thank you. first up, the Sesin Vas Serlecker. The Kleiner Rappa Nimmersap. The Sesin Vas Serlecker.
For Pedro Show, that chunk of music started with Cotton Museum, an untitled track two from Split with Thurston Moore. Thirst. Cool. And then Bob is Pregnant with Groovalicious, Bogdan Wozinski, Bop, Equations Collective Cut 2.2 Part 1. Tell It Like It Is from Samuel Locke Ward. Die Kleine Raupe Nimmerschat, Caterpillar song from Puppet Midnight. And then finally, Cotton Museum with Puss Hovel. Hovel. Yeah, sorry, I butcher English too. All languages get destroyed by what is fucking.
No, it's cool.
It was okay, Chris. So, after that, how long does the Mind Meld band? We were talking about Star Trek when I lost you.
Yeah. It didn't last all that long because I just was maybe a little more serious about doing releases than my buddy was, yeah. And I just kind of, wanted to do my own thing. So that's where I split off and started my project called Cotton Museum.
Okay. And we heard some Cotton Museum right there. So that was your first, and Matt, like you said, Man Alone, right?
Yeah. I don't know. I just kind of wanted total creative control, and I wanted to do, all the artwork for my albums myself. And I wanted to do all the sounds and, just kind of have my hand on everything.
Yeah, and now, speaking of the sounds, ways of making sounds, right?
Yeah.
You get out of the rock and roll kind of thing, right?
Yeah, I didn't know how to, I was big into going to, shows and hardcore shows in my area.
Yeah.
When I found out that there was, a scene in Michigan of people doing their own music and doing their own releases and all that, it blew my mind.
And you wanted to be part. Is that what you're saying? I think I lost you, Chris. Okay. Yeah, we had a little trouble with our internet connect. Thank you for not giving me a choice to pick another ISP that does take care of their things. 50 years of Cold War for this? All right. Chris, tell me the first about the first Cotton Museum gig.
First one was at a place called the Buddha Bar in Detroit. And it was another gig thanks to Aaron Dillaway. He booked it, and we both played solo sets, and then we did a collaboration set.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was a fun night.
Now, there's a question of gear involved, right?
Yeah.
Now, what you just start looking around, acquiring?
Yeah,
It sounds at first you were using tape recorder kind of as an instrument.
Yeah, at first we were just using just any sort of weird electronic device, a lot of tapes, you name it, old Casio keyboard.
You were saying the remote control for the television by a pickup on a guitar.
Totally. And, when I got the Theremin and I started borrowing, friends' guitar pedals, I would plug, a huge chain of them in together and try to distort the Theremin sound and run it through delay pedals, and, that was mostly the instrumentation in my early Cotton Museum stuff.
Trippy. I hear guys, play pedals.
Yeah.
But why not,
I mean, it's what my friends had, and, if I could borrow whatever they had for a gig and just kind of, chain it all together and make it sound weird, it was fun.
And for you, electronic music isn't really keyboard music, right?
It wasn't in the beginning.
Yeah.
But, when I looked at what I was doing, it chaining all these effects together and all that, it kind of, dawned on me. I was, in a way, kind of building like a poor man's modular synthesis.
Modular, right.
So, when I realized that, I started exploring more of modular synth stuff and started building my own setup and acquiring gear for that. And then, I sort of drifted in that zone.
That Theremin you put together, right?
Yeah.
So you started building your own fucking instruments.
Yeah, I don't know how it worked. You know, I didn't really have any real training on it, but I followed the directions that came with it, and it didn't blow up, and I didn't get electrocuted. So, you know, it was exciting.
Yeah. So, did you make tapes of that early stuff? Because you said you wanted to make releases, right?
Yeah, my buddy and I did some CDR releases of that first project, and then I started putting out tapes and CDs of my solo stuff, and then I started my own label to do that, and I it's called Tasty Soil.
Great name. And it was basically for your stuff, right? And
Yeah.
What about the idea of repetition with improv?
I feel like it's important in a sense because, you know, at least in my stuff, I would try to have some sort of loop going, like either a tape loop or I had a little loop recorder, like a digital one, like a Boss, or it was like an SP-404 or, you know, something like that. It was a loop recorder. So I feel like that kind of gives the audience a little bit of something to grab onto, even though there's a lot of chaos going on around it.
Yeah. Like a spine.
Yeah. Something to just build off of. So I like having some sort of repetition in the stuff that I do.
Yeah. And you know, you think about rhythm, right? It's always little riffs, little licks or something.
Right.
And, I guess, you know, wishful thinking and stuff, like everything could be fresh and new and different and, you know, and so like, oh, if you do the same thing over and over, you're kind of at war with that, but not really, right? Because they can work with each other.
Yeah, I mean, if you've got an idea that you like, sometimes it's fun to just keep building on it and just kind of see how you can try to, like, push the limits of that idea a little bit more.
And you moved from the handheld recorder, right, to what, a four-track?
Yeah, I didn't have a four-track myself until a little bit later, but when I got one, it was a little digital four-track, like one of the early ones, and you could only record a maximum of, like, 4 minutes on it. So, you know, if you used all four tracks,
That's
like the max recording time you could do. So a lot of my early stuff I had to keep a little short because of that.
Yeah, we did Minutemen. We thought people wouldn't. We got the idea from Wire, right? That Pink Flag record. We thought, man, nobody will know that we learned off of Blue Oyster Cult and Creedence if we have these tiny little songs.
Awesome.
So, a way of trying to find an identity. And how important are the titles? Because you got some pretty wild titles for your tunes. Do they come last or first? We were talking about titles.
Now, yeah.
Of course, you gave me some tunes that are untitled. But when do they come? Do they come first or last when you compose?
Usually after, sometimes I draw pictures. I like to do all the art for my albums. So sometimes I'll draw a picture and it will spur me on to record some sounds that kind of give me the feel of that art. And sometimes it's the other way around, but usually the titles come at the end.
Yeah. I always ask guests that because I have to have the title first or I got no focus. Like, nobody does that, it seems. A couple cats have, but look, right in the first hour, December 18, 2021, this is what Peter's special guest, Chris Pottinger. Hold tight for hour two! December 18, 2021, it's the second hour of the Walk from Pedro show. We'll be right back. Watch for Beaver Show. Start off second hour. Untitled. Like, we're still talking about titles, right? This is Untitled. Track 4 from Split with Thurston Moore. Got Museum. Manu Dibango after that. Night in Zeralda. Beautiful. This is good stuff from the 70s. Ozona Infini with Lemon et Moi. Pardon. At the Voice of the Valley Festival, part 1 of 2, live August 2018. That's what I should say. This is Klein Quartet, Scotty Irvin. Great cat. And Chris Pottinger, finally, with Murky Fluid. So, speaking of good titles. tell me about this. You gave me 2 of these songs that you did with Thurston. Or you didn't do it first. You're on the same record.
Yeah. That was a split.
So he has his music. You have your music, but you're on split. Okay. And how'd that come about?
I can't remember how we first got in touch together. Maybe he bought something from me or something like that. And it was right when I started my new label, Tasty Soil, and I was like, hey man, would you be interested in putting out a record on my label? And he's like, yeah, I'm down, but let's do it as a split. So, I did one side, he did the other, and then I did the art for it and put it out. It was pretty exciting because, I was a big Sonic Youth fan, and, it was fun to put a record out for him.
Yeah, and Thurston is really open to that stuff. He loves helping little things.
It was so nice.
Yeah, he's a great cat. Enthusiast, huh?
Yeah, and then, after that album came out, I went on a tour and opened for him in... That was kind of near where I lived, by my parents' house, kind of like out in the woods out there. So that was a weird scene.
Yeah, I can imagine. So when you tour, I have some experimental guys. Yeah, they can get everything in a suitcase.
Yep. The suitcase styles is the way to go. But I would bring a card table. And Velcro everything to it.
So card table with the fold legs, right?
Totally. So you can just like fold the legs down, and then you're like ready to roll.
Wow. And what about multimedia, like films or lights?
If there's the ability to project something, I kind of like put together like a video to project. It looks like a some really gnarly, like, close-ups of some guts. But it's not. It's actually, like, some old moldy soup. It was, like, some borscht that I got from this market by where I used to live. And it had this weird film on the top of it that looked like almost, like, fleshy and weird. So I just did, like, a really close-up zoom on it, and I used a straw and just blew like bubbles in it to make it look like it's like pustules, like, and so that's my backdrop video.
Yeah. Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
Yeah.
Was Frank Moore?
Don't tell anybody. It's not really guts, though. Okay.
Yeah, I won't. Safe with me. Frank Morgan, I think. Wizard of Oz, right?
Yep, totally.
He's the man behind the fucking curtain.
But it looks cool when it's projected super huge.
That's interesting. Look, what about this Drippin' Dead?
That I played sax on. Yeah. So I kind of combined electronics with playing sax and tried to just make some kind of just scary horror movie type music.
Well, let's listen.
Yeah.
Walk for Pedro Shack, Chuck and Music. Started off Chris Pottinger, Dripping Dead. And then this magnetic moment from the Bootstrappers. This is Elliot Sharp, friend of theirs.
He's a percussionist, right?
No, guitar man.
Oh, guitarist, that's right.
Yeah, and in fact, the first Bootstrappers was me and George Hurley with him in the late 80s. So this is cool. The second version. Yeah, and then Viv Coringham and Al Margolis out of Chester, New York. Two Albert One. Really interesting music from that cat.
Nice.
And then Cotton Museum, Swollen Claw. So when is it Cotton Museum and when is it Chris Pottinger?
I kind of tried to differentiate. Like, the Cotton Museum is like my card table, like electronic setup that everything's Velcroed to it and stuff. And when I just go under my real name, it's maybe like modular synth stuff or saxophone with electronics. So,
but there's no table.
No table.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Okay. The table band is the Cotton Museum band.
Yeah. Table band.
It's interesting about that kind of stuff. Because, when it puts you in another mode and to express yourself.
It's a little different zone, I guess.
Right. And what do you do as far as compose? Do you keep a library of sounds?
I have some loops that I like to jam over. So I've got like a library of loops, and then I'll have that portion going, and then I'll do freeform synth stuff over it, and I have a mixer on the table so I can mix in other sounds and just kind of build off of that.
What was the first synth that you got?
It was called a Surge. I guess they call it like an East Coast synthesizer because the first one I ever got, I guess, was a Casio. I guess if you gotta like go back that far.
Yeah.
The SK-1 where you could record your voice and kind of play it at like different speeds and things like that.
Make your own samples.
Yeah, make your own samples on it. But the first serious synth that I got was a Surge.
Yeah, I'm kind of ignorant, so you kind of help Watt out here. I've learned from I remember here who was my, that 70s rock, there was a lot of synths, but they used it like for fake horns or fake keyboard. But when me and D-Boom went and saw, and Georgie was with us too, Perubu.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Alan Ravenstein had a table. I don't know if it was a card table, but it was a table. And he had these two boxes on it, and there was no keyboard.
So he was just making sound.
And then they're a rock and roll band, right? But it was really happening. It was the trippiest marriage, bringing together things. Yeah, it was really trippy.
A great band.
Yeah, that first album, right, with that worker in the ballerina shoes and shit. I think it's called The Modern Dance.
You ever check out Silver Apples?
Yes.
So they had a crazy set up like a huge table that this guy built himself.
Right. Well, Larry, the guy who did drumming for the Stooges the last 2 years, me and him are the rhythm section. Simeon was a buddy of his, and he got to record with him and stuff.
No way.
Interesting band. Yeah, he got the bad car wreck, right?
I don't know what happened to him.
Yeah. Well, he just passed away, but he got hurt. But that band goes back to the 60s.
Right. They were definitely one of the earlier kind of synth-based groups that I remember checking out.
Yeah.
Kind of blew my mind.
Big time. Look, we're at the end of the second hour. December 18, 2021 edition of Wapito's special guest, Chris Pottinger. Hold tight for hour three. December 18, 2021 it's the third hour of the Wapito show.
Thank you.
That's cool, man.
Okay. Start off the third hour, people. Cot Museum, Hatchet Extraction, and Mold Omen, White Christmas, a week early, but thank you, Mold Omen from Baltimore. Cot Museum, Horrid Organ. And we were discussing, because I didn't have the fucking record button on, people, so it was just between ourselves, but we were talking about soundtrack and art that Chris does that sometimes in forms of music, or sometimes is the other way around, right?
Yeah, it's just, I like how sometimes I'm drawing and it gets me like amped up and excited to record some music. Sometimes I'm jamming and recording some weird synth stuff and I'm like, oh, I got a good idea for a creature that would make these sounds or something. I'll draw some mutant and, you know, that's usually the way it goes, just hanging out in my studio.
You got one in your pad, right?
Yeah, I just I have like a art studio / recording zone. So I have all the stuff crammed in one room together.
Yeah. But this way you can do it anytime you want, right?
Yeah. It's like kind of my dream setup.
Well, you know, a lot of people, it seems a lot of musicians are record themselves. Not so much a big divide like in the old days. Well, it's more econo too, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's fun. You know, it's nice to have it all in one place, and you know, you can swivel on your chair one way to do one thing, swivel around the other way, and you can do the other.
The swiveler.
The swiveler.
So tell me about these two tunes, Horrid Organ and Hatchet Extraction.
Yeah, those are both on the album that I called Hatching Extraction, yeah. And they're just, I don't know, kind of inspired by weird, like, undersea creatures, you know, deep down in the darkest depths, like, just stuff swimming around and weird, I don't know, things hatching out of weird eggs and doing weird things. I don't know.
Well, kind of biology versus sterile electronic, you would think of, you know, people operate machines. You have an analogy to, like, organic stuff.
Yeah, I love hanging out in nature. I grew up in, you know, hanging out in the forest all the time, so everything's kind of just inspired by, like, flipping logs over and looking at what weird creatures were hiding underneath the log and, you know, just hanging out and, you know, making your own fun.
Right. Pill bugs, sow bugs.
Exactly.
Under the rocks, exactly. Yeah. But I knew this kid. Well, I was a kid, too. But he'd fucking get toothpicks and, like, stab these guys, you know, for fun.
Sounds like a psycho.
I mean, this is many years ago, but I hope he's okay. This guy.
Yeah, I mean, we've all known somebody that is a weirdo like that, you know?
Yeah, it's my under a rock story. Look, speaking of moist membranes, let's listen. Yeah. Thank you.
accident through light and how being finished is nothing. information has broken experience and its ability to express what information can never possess.
Walk for Peter Show, last music for this edition. Moist Membrane from Chris Pottinger. And then we had Benita Marcus, lecture for Joe Kondo, the David August deconstruction version. And finally, Chris Pottinger, Digestive Gland. During this situation, were you composing a lot in the swivel chair?
I've been doing more drawing, honestly, than jamming, than composing. But I do, yeah, I have, like, endless recordings that I've done. Because working with the modular synth, it's like, really hard to recreate a sound that you find later. Like, yeah. You know, if you really like a sound that you've got, chances are you'll never find that same exact sound in the future. So you've got to always be recording. So anytime I'm jamming on the modular, I'll just leave my recorder just going. So I've got hours and hours of stuff that I need to kind of whittle down.
Whoa. And what about collab? Do you use the internet to collab?
No, not really. I mean, it's fun to think about. And in reality, you know, I'd like to do that, but I just haven't.
I did a lot of it. I made several albums. Now I meet the cats, right?
And it works out good?
Yeah. It's cool. Interesting. You know, it takes you in places you didn't expect, right? Because, like I said, some of these cats I don't even know, right? It's just a music connect. But
sounds fun.
Politics and bass, you know. You look good making other people look good. So you want to help the tune, you know. It's an interesting.
Totally.
Yeah. It's an interesting thing. It's like like a backup part first. Sometimes.
Yeah.
So I like the challenge of course, playing with people in the same room, but, you know, the situation and all that. And also, just using the internet for some good things and not just spreading bullshit and lies, you know.
That's the best thing that I can think of using it for, honestly. You know, just making art and exchanging cool jams.
Yeah, absolutely. Some cats, I don't know, I'm reading Lewis's Porter book on John Coltrane and the way he listened to other people. You know, he learned from the other musicians and stuff. It wasn't just, you know, genius in the cave kind of thing.
Sure.
I think a Minutemen, no way without the movement. Of course, me and D. Boone would have played together, right? That's how we hung out. But being part of that movement, it's trippy those kind of things. So when you make connects that aren't so brutal, you know, that are based on aesthetics and stuff, it can be interesting.
Sure.
Yeah. So that's why I asked you if you were doing any of that. Plans, future.
I've been working on making synthesizer modules with a buddy of mine, Chip Flynn. He does a project called Ape Technology.
Is there a place on the internet that people can find out about that?
Check out my website, tastysoil.com.
Okay, people, TASTYSOIL.com.
Yeah, and I'm going to work on putting a tape out soon. I'm going to try to whittle down all these, you know, thousands of hours of synth jams that I have here and put a tape out soon.
Okay.
Because can't do records anymore because they're backed up for like a year.
Yeah, right, the pressing plants.
Yeah, so I guess
when
tape.
When you talk about modules.
Yeah.
Is it kind of like getting back to that idea you had for the pedals?
Yeah. So, you know, with a modular synth, you can kind of build your own setup the way that you want. You know, you need a delay, you can get a delay module. You need something to mess with the EQ of your mix, you can get a module that'll do that, you know. So you need a drum machine, you can get a module for that. So really it's like building an instrument.
Right. And so you, what's his name, Chris Flynn?
Chip Flynn.
Yeah. Is he more of the electronic guy?
Yeah, he's like a electronic builder virtuoso. He's real smart with that stuff.
And you feed him ideas?
I did the panel layout, so I drew like some weird creature, and then he did the electronics behind it, so the eyeballs on the creature will flash and you know, with the rhythm, and it's turned out really awesome. So we're gonna do some more modules one of these days, make some instruments.
Yeah, very interesting. And he just makes. Is he a musician also?
Yeah, he is too. Yeah, yeah. He does a project called Ape Technology.
Okay. And have you guys collabed?
Yeah. We played a festival out in Canada back, you know, pre-COVID. That was pretty fun, and we haven't done any releases together. We also played a festival in Detroit too that the Wolf Eyes guys put on.
Wow. And does he have his own card table?
Yeah. Well, he's got a suitcase for sure.
He's a suitcase.
Yeah.
I love it.
He doesn't jam a card table though.
Yeah. Velcro.
Yeah. You know, beautiful. if the legs fall over, you know, it's fine. Everything's Velcro.
Right. It's good thinking, man. Very, very practical.
Yeah, it's great.
When you start touring again, you got to come play a SoCal, huh? So I can come.
I'd love to. I love going out to California.
Yeah, I'd love to see you do this thing in person. But I can't wait for the tape. So when you get done with that, please flow, Chris. Real big honor to have you on the show. Really. Thank you so much.
Yeah, hey, it was fun chatting.
Okay, brother. People, it's been December 18th, 2021. This is Wapito Show. Keep your powder dry.